Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I had told you last Sunday that my intention would be, the Lord's help, that bring a message about what we require to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church. What do we require to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? Here in Acts chapter 2, verse number 47, tells us here about the first church and Brother Mark teaching about that in his Sunday school class. It says here in verse number 47, it's verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, fellowship, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In Acts chapter 5, we see here the Lord deals with church members, Ananias and Sapphira, and they were saved. Okay, I believe they were saved. They were members of this church here. And the Lord dealt with them in a public way. They had made a public declaration that they had given all of the money that they had taken at the sale of the land. Okay, the provision that the Lord made for that first church so they could maintain. Brother Mark mentioned about that this morning and how they were doing that and taking care of the saints and the widows and all those kind of things, because they were cut off. I mean, they were cut off from Israel, cut off from their families, no doubt cut off from businesses. I mean, they were cut off. And so there were many that sold what they had, and they told that they sold what they had, and they gave it for the ministry and the longevity of the membership of the church and their care and that, and their provision. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of ground, said that they gave it all, but they didn't give it all. And they were found lying to the church. Don't lie to the church. If you're lying to the church, you're lying to the Lord. And it's serious. It is serious. And so it goes on to say here in verse 12 of Acts chapter 5, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest there's no man joined himself to them. Okay, so those outside looking on, okay, says they wouldn't join themselves to them, but the people magnified them. They knew it was a special thing going on. But then it goes on to say, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. And it's men and women that are saved and men and women that are added to the Lord's church by the Lord. And we come here to Acts chapter 11. And here Barnabas is used by the saints to be able to carry or to check things out up at Antioch, right? And in Acts chapter 11, we see here there's a great number believe, turn to the Lord, it says there. And In verse number 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. And what's the context? Well, the church there at Antioch, okay? The saints that are there at Antioch and the Lord's church that was there. He went to check out about, in fact, that it was that Gentiles were being saved. And then we come to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's take a look here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse number 18 or so. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Okay, so we know, we understand the Lord's church. The Lord started his church in his day, his kind of church, and the other churches were started from that church, and it comes all the way down to us here at Olmsted Baptist Church here today. It's that of perpetuity, and we believe in a successive perpetuity, and the Lord's working that out. It was church to church to church, how our church here got its authority to be one of the Lord's churches from that first church there in Jerusalem. And that is the Lord's work. The Lord saves sinners, convicts his people, and adds to the church those that would come and say that they've been saved. and saved previously some time ago or saved recently, they would come and look to be members of the church here by virtue of baptism. Okay? Baptism doesn't complete their salvation, but baptism is an obedience to Christ or what's been done in them and their salvation by the Lord, an obedience to Him, and it gives a public declaration of what the Lord's done to the world and to this church, that Jesus has saved them, and by baptism they become members of the church. Sometimes we receive a member by a letter. They've been member of another church. And so they would come and believe that they would be led of the Lord to come and join our church. And if the Church of Like Faith and Order, we receive a letter of recommendation for them to membership. Sometimes we might receive, under extreme circumstances and cases, we might receive someone into the membership of the church by the declaration of their salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ and the statement of scriptural baptism. Maybe they were members of a church years ago that went out of existence, and they were baptized by that church, a Baptist church, and for some reason, they, you know, whatever, all kinds of circumstances and situations exist, we would receive them at last case by a statement of scriptural baptism. That's what the statement is that they're Baptists and they believe. And the church that they're from and was baptized in holds to the doctrines that we hold to today. So the Lord adds to His church. And we're a member of the Lord's church, and we do so by faith. We do so by obedience to our Lord, to be a member of one of His churches. We see in the scripture that's the pattern in the working of the Lord. We don't become a member of the Lord's church by, you know, waiting for an ooey gooey, you know, tingly feeling or anything like that. You know, feelings are dangerous. Scripture talks very little about feelings, and any feelings that the scripture does talk about, it's not of it really any good. Okay? But what the scripture is fraught with and overloaded with is that by faith the Lord's commanded, He's given a thing, and we look. We are commanded by the Lord and directed by the Lord that His people who are saved should be a member of one of His churches. So then, that being the case, and we're here at Olmsted Baptist Church and we're members of His church, believing that we have been added by our Lord, okay, not just that we saw that, well, that just seems to be a good thing to do, but this is where the Lord wants me, okay? I mean, I know for myself, this is where the Lord wants me. I'm convicted of that. I don't feel my way through that. I believe that I'm to be here. And because I'm saved by the Lord, and I should be in one of His churches, and of course the church called me to be pastor, and after I was ordained, we went ahead and we joined. Okay, we came here by letter, the way I did and Clarissa did and that. Because we're convicted about that. We might get nervous about presenting ourselves for membership. We might get upset stomach or get kind of stirred or troubled or whatever. But it's not about what our body thinks about a thing. It's about what the Lord says about it and what we believe. We receive these things, act upon these things, pursue these things by faith. So now here, we're a member. Well, what's it take to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? I think this is important for us to consider and deal with. A lot of people have a lot of weird ideas about church membership. They understand other things in the world very simply. It's just really easy. But when it comes to the church, it's just kind of weird, wacko ideas about what's expected of a church and that. And so let's consider that. That's the reason for the message. And my purpose of this is to get this down, even get it down recorded, so even in future times it can be distributed, so it might be understood. What's it take to remain a member? What are we required to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? Clubs, societies, and organizations of men. Let's take a look at that. Of course, we know the Lord's church is not an organization of men, is it? It's divine. It's of the Lord. But to our government, Olmsted Baptist Church is just like a club. That's the way the government looks at it. I've been told by lawyers that the government takes no position and does not seek to interpret or the Bible or the Scripture. That's the way the government looks at it. Those are spiritual things, and the position of government and the position of the law is they don't look to get into the Bible and see what it means. They just stay away from that. They take that position that they do not interpret or apply the Scripture in any way. So any scriptural kind of basis or stand that we would have, we may well would need to present that in court, but understand what the courts, unless the Lord divinely intervenes, they're going to say, that Bible has no place in this courtroom and we don't go by it. Now, Brother Roy Moore down in Texas, he might take a different position on that. A judge that's down there in Texas who is a man of faith and a believer. But generally, that's the way our government operates, okay? So what do clubs and organizations this world require for continued membership? Let's just take a look at that. Everybody understands that easy. And so what when we look at clubs and organizations of this world, what do they require for continued membership? The Cattlemen's Association. Okay? The Cattlemen's Association. What does the Cattlemen's Association require for you to be a member? Well, the Cattlemen's Association requires that you apply, give them your contact information, and if you want to be a junior member, you send in $10. And if you want to be a single member, such as myself, you know, not a child, but an adult, you would send in $30 for a year's dues. And if I wanted for Clarissa and myself to join up to the Cattlemen's Association, we could be members free, be members in good standing for $45 a year. That's all it takes. Just have to be interested in cattle. Well, really, don't even have to be interested in cattle. Just say you want to be a member and send in your dues. That's it. That's it. Now, when the dues come due for the Cattlemen's Association and they send me an email or I cut off my automatic transaction form to the credit card or from a checking account or whatever, and they don't get their dues, then they'll send a notice immediately that you're no longer a member. Well, I'm offended at that. Well, no, you can't be a member if you don't pay your dues. Okay? So that's the way it is with the Cattlemen's Association. Do you think anybody would get upset and say, you know, they won't let me be a member of the Cattlemen's Association of Kentucky because I won't send in my dues? Do you think anybody in their right mind would present an offense? That is an offense and an argument. And so things of the world are easily understood, aren't they? The Kiwanis. The Kiwanis, a community volunteer and leadership organization. Okay, they've got many things. The Kiwanis Club, if you want to become a member, I've got it printed out here off their website. If you want to, ready to help children and families in your community, ready to change the world, the Kiwanis is ready for you. Okay? So what are the Kiwanis saying? Well, if you want to help out in your local Kiwanis Club in your community, you need to find a club. Because you can't be a Kiwanis unless you engage a club. You've got to want to be a member of the Kiwanis. And then after that, it says that you need to, you can't be a member if you just find a club. You've got to go visit the club. You've got to let them know that you want to be a member of the club. You can't just assume I'm a Kiwanis. Well, no, not if they don't know about you. Okay? That's interesting, isn't it? And then you got to get in touch with them. And then, you know what it says here? It says you got to explore the Kiwanis culture. That means you've got to go to a meeting and you've got to see the programs and things that they have. You know, here's the words that they used, volunteer-based. They have club meetings, okay, for different things that they do. Kiwanis members typically volunteer each month to assist with club service projects. You know how you can be a member of the Kiwanis? You've got to participate. Because otherwise, if you don't participate, you're not a member of the Kiwanis. Well, they won't let me be a member of the Kiwanis because I don't want to go to any of their meetings. And I don't want to participate in any of the things. But yet, I want to be a member of the Kiwanis. Would anybody pose that kind of argument or offense? Lance, it's understood. I mean, it's a volunteer organization. It's a community organization for children and adults. And you know what the last thing that they say is? Get involved. New members bring fresh energy and ideas to Kiwanis clubs. We invite you to reach out, learn more, get involved. So that's how you're a member of the Kiwanis. I don't think the Kiwanis even make you pay dues, okay? So there it is. The Lions Club. Now, this is even more interesting. The Lions Club, they're another leadership organization, a community service kind of organization. They use words, their objectives are to create, to promote, to take, to unite, to provide, to encourage. Whew, that kind of sounds like some work, doesn't it? It sounds like some more doing, okay? Foster a spirit. Promote theory and practice and put it into work in regards to good government and good citizenship. Here you go. Take an active interest in the civic, social, and moral welfare of the community. You can't do that from home. If you're going to be involved in the Lions Club's programs, you've got to get out there. They've got a code, and they've got different things that they promote and seek to do. Listen to this. Becoming a Lion. And none of these, my position on these organizations is just neutral, okay? I'm not saying whether they're good or bad. I'm just using them as an example of what's readily understood. You want to become a Lion by becoming an active member in the Lions International at your local level. You'll be joining hundreds of thousands of compassionate workers throughout the world. So you got to be a worker to be a Lion. And you've got to be active to be a Lion. The greatest qualification you need is a willingness to work. They use work all the way down through here, okay? Lion membership provides you with satisfying, fulfilling experience for helping your community. So it's active, isn't it? You can't be a Lion without being a part. If you want to join a Lions Club, find the club. Go there to the meeting, let them know you want to be a part, and so on. And then they'll get you on your way and give you some projects to pursue. And so I don't think anybody in their right mind would ever say, well, I want to be a Lion. I want to have the Lions Club sticker on my bumper of my car, but I really don't like going to meetings, and I don't like that stuff that they do. But I want to be a Lion. Would anybody in their right mind take that position? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Then the Odd Fellows. What's an Odd Fellow? That's what they put on their website. What is an Odd Fellow? Well, it has some history, and it was started way, way back by a fella. You know what's interesting about the Odd Fellows? What's interesting about the Odd Fellows, again, community service, projects that they do, helping young people, children, elderly, no doubt, and just different things that they seek to improve. It's kind of on the verge of a religion, I believe. Improve and elevate the character of mankind. Okay, it's a humanistic-based kind of fair, but some of the things that they do are good. You know what's interesting about their website? They don't tell you how to become a member. You remember how it is with the Masons, don't you? Well, maybe you don't know, and that's good. Remember the bumper sticker? 2, that's the number 2, B, the letter B, 1, ask the number 1. That's the way it is with the Masons. To be one, ask one. You've got to want to be in it. To be an Odd Fellow, you're going to have to go beyond this website. No, don't do it, okay? But one would have to go beyond this website and really want to be an Odd Fellow. And you know how you're only going to be an Odd Fellow? You're the organization. You're going to have to pursue it. And you're going to have to be active. You're going to have to be active in what they do, okay? Habitat for Humanity. What about Habitat for Humanity? That's another organization. They do some good things. And Habitat for Humanity. What do you see Habitat for Humanity always doing? I mean, with Habitat for Humanity, if you're going to be a part of Habitat for Humanity, unless you're wealthy and can give money for a lot of material, you're going to be pounding nails, running wire, and running plumbing, and putting on shingles, and handling sheathing, and putting up drywall, and taping drywall, and putting in doors, putting in floors, putting in carpet, putting in sounds like a bunch of work, doesn't it? I'm a member. I participate in Habitat for Humanity. What projects have you been on? None. Have you given material and use the influence that you have, or the money that you have, or your company to donate material? No, I don't give any material either. Well, what do you do? Well, nothing. I just like being a part of the group. I mean, nobody in their right mind would take that position, would they? No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. The Kiwanis. The 4-H. Okay? 4-H, Youth Development Program. No dues, no uniforms. Locally organized and all that. But can you be a member of the 4-H without going to a 4-H meeting? You can't really be part of 4-H if you don't go to a meeting. Can you go to the 4-H and be part of the 4-H if you don't participate in the programs and the things that the local 4-H club is pursuing? No, I'm a member of 4-H. I like their sticker. Their sticker's really cool. Did you participate in any competitions or either? No, I don't do that. Did you help out any children in 4-H? Maybe. No, I don't do that. Have you done anything with 4-H? Well, no, as far as doing anything, no, but I just like to be a member of them. I mean, nobody in their right mind would even say that, would they? Wouldn't even presume that. Professional organizations. I used to be a member of the American Ceramic Society. And not only does that have to do with sanitary ware and stuff like that, but it also has to do with high-tech electronics. I just want to plug that in there. You know why I'm no longer a member of the American Ceramic Society? Because I can't get the church to pay the dues. There's no need for it. All my employers before paid the dues, okay? And I was very much a member when my employer paid the dues. And I would go to the conventions and go to the expos and go to the seminars and all that kind of thing and symposia. And it was an active part to gain information and things like that. But you know what? When the dues quit pay, I quit paying the dues. I was no longer a member of the American Ceramic Society. They require... You got to pay the dues. You got to pay the dues. That's their minimum limit. Society of Manufacturing Engineers. I used to be a member of the SME, but I don't need to be a member of the SME anymore. But you know what? They cut me off when I quit paying the dues. They wouldn't even give me another year free just to try to get me back. When I quit paying the dues, it was over with. Now, we loved you when you paid, but after that, it's no good. Snoga, you're not a member anymore. You can't claim it. I used to be a member of MidTech. It was a manufacturing technology advancement organization there in St. Louis, and our company would use that. And I was very active there and the things that I was responsible for a company that I worked with. But when we quit paying, you can't be a member of MidTech anymore. All right? You know what? When I was young and tender, can you believe I was ever young and tender? I was a member of the Cub Scouts. Had the blue uniform and the yellow kerchief and the blue hat and the knife that I cut my finger with that I never told my folks about. That's going to be interesting ongoing that I reveal things of my childhood that they never knew about. But you know what? They didn't like strong arm you into paying dues, but you were supposed to pay some dues. At least my group was. But you know what? I'm no longer a member of the Cub Scouts. Because somewhere back there, I quit attending the meetings. And they still don't, in Chesapeake there, they just still don't assume that I'm a member of the Cub Scouts. I have been a member of the Cub Scouts, but I'm not a member of the Cub Scouts now. And you know what? I exceeded one of the qualifications. There's qualifications for being a Cub Scout. And I think it's an age, grade level qualification. I'm too seasoned now to be a Cub Scout, okay? I'm not young and tender anymore. And so that's an organization for boys. And when I went from being a boy to being an older boy or young man, I wasn't qualified anymore. I didn't meet the criteria to be a Cub Scout. Sam's Club and Costco. A buying organization, right? They'll let you into the pharmacy without a membership. I'll let that off the hook. You can use a Sam's Pharmacy without the membership. But you know what? You can't buy gas there. Nor can you go in and buy stuff. Because you got to be a member. And you know what? When they cut off the dues or something happens and we have a snag and we get it paid up enough, Sister Patty's there, says, I got 3 cartloads of stuff for the church and the dues aren't paid. No, that hadn't happened. Well, we had some trouble with something one time, didn't we? But see, to be a member there, in that regards, you got to pay the dues. Someone would say, I knew the preacher was going to get to the money thing. It's always about money. Well, let it be clear and let it be known. Olmsted Baptist Church requires no dues. Okay? Olmsted Baptist Church requires no dues. There's no dues required at Olmsted Baptist Church. Your giving is between you and the Lord. That's the way it is. Now, we hold to some principles of Olmsted Baptist Church. We hold to the principle and believe that the doctrine of tithing is scriptural. that the doctrine of giving offerings above the tithe is scriptural. We hold to that. I preach that. The brethren teach that, and we preach that. And this church has held to that and still stands in that. But you know what? We don't go and scrutinize anybody's giving. Brother Mark's the treasurer, and he only keeps track of what people give that they want kept track of by virtue of a check or one of the envelopes back there. Where you put your name on it, he keeps track of that only from the standpoint of the document that you need for the government. And if you itemize and you need that for charitable contributions, that's the only thing that's done. And you know what? I don't even look at those. Don't want to look at those. I don't need to look at those. He knows it, and the Lord knows it, and that's it. And that's only done for your sake. There's no dues required. Your giving is between you and the Lord. We need to obey our Lord and that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we left off here, we just want to take a peruse this chapter here and understand that the local church is his body in that place. What does it take to remain? That's what we're talking about, remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church. Well, listen to what our Lord says about this. Spiritual gifts, he talks about in verse number 1. We were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols as we were led. Verse 3, wherefore I gave you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. It's only by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, that we declare and know the Lord is our Savior. There's diversities of gifts in the church with the same Spirit at work. There's diversities and differences of administrations, but the same Lord is the one that's head over it all. There's diversities of operations. We might do something different. The brethren this morning, isn't it something how we get into a habit? Brother Stephen led one song after the choir sang, and he sits down and says, "Got to sing another song. Got to sing another song." Well, Brother Doug's going to do the prayer list, then we'll sing two more songs, okay? We're creatures of habit, and we just want everything to stick the same way it was. And you know what? If something like that happens, you get a little jolt of adrenaline. So what's going on? Something's different. And it helps us to wake up, especially after that good meal we had. And I know that was after that. I'm not losing my mind yet. All right, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, verse number 7. You know, you're praying and seeking for the Lord to work in your life that you might grow, right? That you might be a good servant of your Lord and a good servant of your Lord in His church where He's placed you. You got something to do. We all need to find our place. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, verse 9. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, divers kinds of languages. Others the interpretation of those languages. See, it could be someone could understand a language and not be able to speak it. That's a possibility. It could be. But all these worketh that one and that same self-spirit. It's the Lord that's working at hand, dividing to every man severally as he wills. We're all gifted differently. But we should use those gifts to the honor and glory of our Lord. And this is speaking about church context. For as the body is one, verse 12, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. We have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? One big nose. That would not be good. All right, we need toes, too. And we need the rest, too, don't we? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. And it's bad when there's schisms in the body. That's called being sick, or being ill, or having cancer, or having parts that are dying. That'll take, sad to say, drag the body down. You know, if one of my fingers would become infected by something that I would do, I'd do everything I could to try to help it. But then if it got to a point that it's going to start getting blood poison and it's going to get bad, I have to cut that finger off for the sake of the body. That's the principle that's at hand. I don't want my fingers to get infected, do you? You don't want any part of you to get infected or to have trouble, do you? No, we don't. No schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The caring of members of other members. Catch that? And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles and the leadership that's here in the church, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of healings, helps, government, the first use of tongues. Not all those exist now. We have the Word of God. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? We don't need all of us to be the treasurer. We all of us don't need to teach at the same time. Right? There's an order to things. There's an order in bodies. If your body gets out of order, you let the chemistry of your body get out of whack, as some of our membership can testify, you can really be in bad shape in a hurry, can't you? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So the local body, the Lord's local church, is His body in that place. We're a body of the Lord Jesus Christ, placed here by the Lord, tempered together by the Lord, to do this work that He's called us to do. So, you know, we need to understand that. It says there in the Scripture, it says in the Scripture there directly, Brother Foot, I'm doing all the seeing, and I have no need of you. Okay, I'm just to take what's said right there. I don't have any need of you, Brother Foot. I'm the eye, and I have no need of you. The members aren't allowed to say that one of another, because if the eye's ever going to go anywhere, he needs Brother Foot. Right? I say, can we extrapolate to this? I'm Brother Ear, and I don't want to be a part of the body anymore. I don't have any need of you, body. Can we say that? Not if our Lord's put us in that body. Brother Ear needs to get his heart right, doesn't he? We see that? If the Lord has added us, if there's an offense, we need to deal with it in the way that the Lord's given us to deal with it. If there's a foundational doctrinal dispute that's critical and essential and foundational, that's a whole different thing. But for a church that is following what the Lord says and holding to His doctrine, holding to the things that are Baptist distinctives and such as that, can a member that has been added say, I quit? The impact on the body will be the same, won't it? I mean, if my knee says I quit, it's going to be detrimental, isn't it? Brother Doug's sister Brenda are sympathetic to that. They understand what that is. Maybe some of you are otherwise. If your knee just says I quit you, it hurts the body, doesn't it? And being a part of the body is not allowed to quit that way. Can't quit. So then we come to the commands to members of our Lord's churches, and it's very simple. And we look over here in Hebrews chapter 10. What are we required to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? I'll tell you what, we require less than the clubs and the organizations of the world require. We do. We require less to remain a member. I'm talking about just barely hanging on. We don't require much. There's more to be had. Understand that. There's more to be had and to be blessed in. But what do we require to remain a member? It's not much. It's not much. And I think that we see the outline here. You know, there's great blessing of our Lord. We need to understand this. Our Lord gives us what He commands us to do, and He gives us as a new child of God foundational things, and we've been blessed to be near His churches and to be taught good things. There are those that are saved that aren't blessed with that. So count that as a blessing. And you know, as we're taught foundational things, we know what our Lord expects. He doesn't expect us to feel good about following those things. He expects us to obey Him in it. And you know what? When we obey our Lord in foundational things, He'll open up the horizon to what's next. But you know what? If we don't obey in foundational things, we'll never see what's over the horizon next. It won't be a thing said, well, I know it's better over there, and I know there's something better and more over there, but I just don't want it. No, there's a sense that it's just flat out blindness. You don't follow the Lord in foundation. You and I don't follow the Lord in foundational things. We'll never get to the next step of maturity. It's just that way. There are many things that the Lord gives us in the Scripture that are just plain. And He's not telling us to feel good about it or get a funny feeling about it or get a warm fuzzy feeling about it and then go. He says, obey me. Obey. And you know what? When we obey, He's worthy being obeyed, isn't He? He's due the obedience. But the Lord has designed it such that when we obey, in spite of this old flesh and in spite of this old mind, when we obey, He blesses. He blesses. Isn't that so? It's the recompense of reward that's there. The Lord has designed it that way. So what do we require to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? Well, let's read here in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's take a look here. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, we have boldness to go before the throne of grace, go before our Heavenly Father. Our Savior has said, pray to the Father in my name. The things that you desire, be specific. Don't be general about the fulfilled will of God. Pray to the Lord for what you want. And temper that with, nevertheless, thy will be done. Nevertheless, thy will be done. That's the example that we have. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Jesus laid His body on the line for this. He is plumb serious about it, isn't He? Here you go. Having a high priest over the house of God, in line with the message this morning, what does the Lord want us to do? Commands to the members of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches, let us draw near. Let us draw near. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. Not let us go far. Not let us walk on the fringe of mediocre church membership, but let us draw near. That's what the Lord expects. The Lord would go off to pray, and the Lord would go off to meditate, and the Lord would go off to communicate with His Father. But after that, where was He found? Right there with the church. Where's our Lord today? He's promised to be right here with us even this day and this afternoon. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart. Not with feeling, but with faith. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. It's the heart that'll feel things. We need to believe our Lord. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He saved me. He showed me I needed to be baptized. He showed me I need to be a member of His church. And I believe Him, and I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to pursue that all I can pursue that. And Lord, help me to hold it fast. You know what people know that you and I believe? People know what you and I believe by what we do. We do what we believe. Talk's cheap, and there's an element of conversation in our speech, indeed. But they know what we believe by what we do. And let us hold it fast. And let us consider one another, verse 24, to provoke unto love and good works. And it's not talking about, as the brother said, it's not talking about trying to stir somebody up to bad things, but to encourage one another. Maybe even to challenge one another. To remind one another of what our Lord says in His Word. To be a help. To be truly a brother and sister in Christ. To be friends. To be best friends. Because we're kin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our kinship on this earth is a wonderful thing and a thing for this time. But you know what? Our kinship in Christ is eternal. Indeed it is. Let us consider. You know how you can consider one another? You've got to be around one another to consider one another. That's where the brother's heading. Let us consider one another. Let us consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who's our great high priest. Let's think about that for a while. Think about what He did. He made it possible for this to be so for us. Wasn't a light thing with Him, was it? Shouldn't be a light thing with us. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then it comes here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. What do we require to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? Don't forsake the assembling. And then what the word is here is forsaking. I mean, totally, completely leaving it off, gone, forever. Don't care. Doesn't matter. Just don't want any more of it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Be an encouragement one to another. Be a help one to another. We all have times that we get down. We all have times that we are troubled. We all have times that we are discouraged. And maybe we try to be sensitive to that one to another and be a help to one another. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sunday, I think you could say that, the Lord's Day. In our case, even Wednesday for midweek services, special services. Or indeed, it surely speaks about the return of our Lord. The return of our Lord, I believe, is near. And we need to obey our Lord and be faithful to our Lord and the things that He's given us. He's made the day and He's made the church and He's saved us and put us in her. You know, some members are hindered, though, aren't they? You know, there are those that are ill. And we understand that. It's not, I'm not oblivious to that. Sometimes people get sick. I've been sick myself. The brethren filled in. I'm thankful that we have brethren that can fill in. There are those that are grievously ill or injured. Cancers and debilitating things and such like that. People get laid up, have surgeries, get laid up for a long time. The Lord knows all about that, and the church knows all about that, and the pastor knows all about that. There are those that are older and impaired due to their bodies just not being able to go. That happens, doesn't it? That's the reason while we're younger, we need to do all we can do in obedience and service to the Lord, because if we live long, our bodies will fail, could fail. And thank the Lord. Remember Brother Tommy Graham? Remember how Brother Tommy Graham came in here? Brother Tommy Graham came in here, they'd have to wheel him in a wheelchair. Sometimes two brethren grab a hold of him and carry him to his seat. He wanted to come to his family would say, "You sure, Tommy?" "Yeah, I want to go. Want to go. He pushed, didn't he? He wanted to be here. And he pushed and he pressed. But indeed, there's those that are older and impaired due to their bodies not being able to do so. Sister Sarah, she's in the nursing home. We know she can't come. And she hasn't forsaken the assembling of herself together with us, has she? No, she's not forsaken it, because she always asks her how the church is doing. See, there's the forsaking of the assembling, if the body is impaired, truly impaired, for the child of God who's yet in their right mind, they'll still inquire and want to communicate with what's going on with the church. But what about that individual that can? They can come. And they can communicate. But they don't. It lends itself to the forsaking, doesn't it? I wonder about ailments on Sunday and great relief on Monday. And I've had that myself where I've been sick on Sunday and was better on Monday, good enough to go to church. You know, I know of one brother that the way he operated, I can't even remember who it is now, but if they miss Sunday, they would just go ahead and not go to work on Monday. You know, there's no penance with the Lord. There's just repentance with the Lord. And so if you're sick on Sunday and you're better on Monday and can go to work or school, then go on to school. But the Lord knows when we're goofing off. And the Lord knows when it's real. And well, we should just be honest with our Lord. I wonder about ailments on Sunday and great relief on Monday. Is there something more at work there? Well, only that person and the Lord knows. How is that heart spiritually? Oh, remember Ananias and Sapphira. May we not lie to our Lord. I remember my mother telling me when I was but a wee lad. She said, I was telling something. She said, Jimmy, don't lie to yourself. And I still remember that. You know, when we seek to tell a lie, it was bold-faced. I mean, it was right. I was had, you know. It was known. The truth was known. But the point was is that I was lying to myself first before I was lying to her. Let's just be honest with our Lord. Amen? You know, if the Lord knows if we're sick, the Lord knows we're sick. If we're hindered, the Lord knows truly if we're hindered. He does. And the Lord knows if for the same thing at hand would we go ahead and go on to work or go on and go to school or go on to do something fun, but I just can't go to church. Are you and I truly hindered, or are we goofing off? Well, we individually know, and our Lord knows. So what do we require to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? Well, just shy of forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Isn't that really, when you boil it all down, isn't that what we require to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? Now, I'm not talking about moral sin, public sin, all that. I'm not talking about those things, but just when there's this withdrawal, when there's this backing away, all that we require to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church is a minimal amount of attendance to where it's seen that you're not forsaking. We're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We don't require dues. We don't require reports. We don't require justification for why somebody's been gone. I don't hound you when you go on vacation. You know, as an example, I've been told of some pastors that didn't even want their people to go on vacation. Well, I want you to go on vacation. I want you to have a good time. Just when you go on vacation, go to church somewhere. That's right. You know, go visit somebody else. Find out some of your other brothers and sisters in Christ. It won't be a surprise when you see them in glory. What do we require to remain a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? A little attendance to the services. A little communication to the church. Just a little bit. That's all we require. But please let it be understood, there is more to being a member of one of our Lord's churches than barely hanging on. There's more to it. There's blessing. There's a work. There's a job. There's something that you can do. And certainly you can pray, and certainly you can be here. It's an encouragement when more of the membership is together, isn't it? Isn't that an encouragement? It is. The fellowship that we have. Our brother wrapped up this chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think that was... No, I got the wrong book. Let me get in the right book. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 31, the church of Corinth was looking for gifts, and they had a problem with some things. But our brother wraps up this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then we go into what? Right into 1 Corinthians 13, the charity chapter. Tell you what will it do for us if we love our Lord like He's loved us? What will that do to you and me? What will it do to me and to you and I if I and you and I love one another as our Lord has loved us? Unto action, not just talk, but love unto action. That's what that word charity is meaning. What will it do to us if you and I will love the sinner in need of Christ like our Lord has loved us? Will we ever be able to love like Christ on this earth? No, but I tell you what, may the Lord help us and may we pursue to try. What do we require to be a member, to remain a member at Olmsted Baptist Church? A little attendance and a little communication. Not as much as even organizations and clubs in this world require. No dues, no reports, no statements of justification. Just a little attendance and a little communication. But understand, there's more than that. If you're here and you're not saved, this really hadn't been a message to you about your need. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You can be saved by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus plus nothing and minus nothing. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. Rest in Him. Look to Him. His gospel, His death and burial and resurrection some 2,000 years ago for the forgiveness of your sins, for the salvation of your soul. That by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you too can be given eternal life by our Lord. Trust in Him.